Well, welcoming head football coach Mark D'Antonio. It's great to have you with us. It's been one of those years you've described as maybe one of the more enjoyable as a head football coach.
Yeah, you know, I think that, first of all, our football team came ready to play throughout the season, but I think it started way back in really in January, the preparation and just reestablishing ourselves, you know, our program, our culture, et cetera, and then trying to move forward. And, you know, we had a very, very small senior class, but I think they did a very good job in terms of leading, especially certain individuals. And then we had an influx of young people, which I thought that brought a new sense of enthusiasm maybe to the program. We're a young football team. I think 78 players, sophomores or below. So there was a youth, sort of a youth movement, and I think it showed. And we had some good players playing from our younger classes, but then also a strong junior class.
Your comment about closing circles has been something that you've said from day one. This must have been particularly satisfying.
Yeah, you know, my dad used to always tell me that, you know, you need to try and complete your circle. And so that's something that I've said over the years and said to my girls and really have said to our players. And I think that we try to do that, you know, try to finish things. And, you know, we won our last two football games. We won three and one really in the in November. So in my way of thinking, I thought we sort of closed the season strong. And now we'll look forward to possibly winning a 10th game, which hasn't been done around here very often in the history of this program. So the opportunity to do that is special.
It is indeed, and it's easy to be spoiled by great, you know, really great seasons, unusual seasons. The fact that you, you know, over that short period of time are the winningest coach in the Big Ten. But people want to focus on your losses. Not your wins, and that's typical of all of us. But a bowl game, a little bit of controversy. But tell us about what you think about San Diego.
Well, I'm going out there tomorrow, as a matter of fact, so I'll have a better viewpoint of it. But I've been there before, so I think it's a beautiful bowl site for our fans. We have a large fan base in Southern California, so in Arizona as well. So I think they've sold almost maybe 50,000 tickets mm-hmm. as of last week sometime, which is the most they've sold at that point. But gives us an opportunity to play against a quality opponent, another top 20 opponent, and we just continue to look forward, and that's what I've tried to do. You know, I know that, you know, our thought process was going through the Florida Bowls, but, you know, things happen, and the main thing that I want to focus on is we're playing a top 20 opponent, opportunity for 10 wins in a sunshine place, with some water around it, and we'll be excited. Great hotel, great venue, and a lot of people on the West Coast will have an opportunity to watch us play.
Actually, the hotel venue is pretty spectacular. Not that Orlando isn't, but to be on the water in that fancy hotel and be able to walk along that old part of the city is pretty neat.
Yeah, I think our guys have said, our advanced group has gone out there and said it's really has everything. They made mention that it's really like being in Florida, except between Florida and Hawaii.
Except the 5-hour flight out there. That's
a 5-hour flight, but you know, we'll be fine through that. But
in my days with the Western Athletic Conference, I've had an opportunity to be to 6-7 of the Holiday Bowls. And as you watch the experience of the kids, the student athletes that go, it's an ideal bowl game. You know, you have everything from the beach to engagement with the United States Navy to the San Diego Zoo and the ability to walk around.
Amusement parks.
Amusement parks, but really everything that they do, it's not just getting on rides and riding rides. It's engaging with each other yeah. while they're experiencing these things. But San Diego and where the hotel is located is set up to allow student athletes to really become part of the city, walk around, see history, see you know, our men and women of the armed forces up close and personal. I think they're going to find it to be maybe one of the more enjoyable bowl games to go to as far as a student athlete perspective.
Well, we've got some things planned. We're going to make sure they all have an opportunity to go to the Pacific Ocean and put their feet in the water a little bit, but go to the San Diego Zoo and visit. It's sort of a combination aircraft carrier destroyer,
right?
And get a tour of that, and So, you know, our guys will have a good opportunity and a good experience.
The one thing that always, you know, when you look at how long those ships are gone and there's a sub base that's in San Diego.
Yeah.
What sets me and what really drove us to do the Carrier Classic is to think about those families watching their loved ones leave that dock for 10, 12, 16 months at a time. And the appreciation that you get for what they do for us as Americans really sets home when you're in San Diego.
Yeah, I look forward to that. I've not been on an aircraft carrier before, but it'll be an experience. And I think a lot of our players, when I ask them who has family or friends or know people in the armed forces, you know, 95% of our guys raise their hands. So they'll have a experience with that as well.
How do you go about the pace of, you know, what it looks like from the end of the season till the kickoff of that bowl game on what you're going to do with your team? How long do you keep them here? What kind of experience do you want to give them to go home, right, for the holidays and then get them back ready for game week?
Yeah, you know, we practiced last weekend, and then we've had workouts. And then also this week is exam week, so this is a big week for all of our players academically. So we'll pick up this the end of this week on Friday and practice for 4 days pretty extensively, and then we'll let them go home for 4 days. And then Friday, the 22nd, we'll make our trip out to San Diego, and then we'll practice out there for 4 more days. You know, it's going to be a little bit different practicing on Christmas Day, but we'll do what we have to do. That'll be a Tuesday practice anyway. And then, you know, get ready to play, and we'll play on a Thursday after, you know, after Christmas at night, 6 o'clock out there, 9 o'clock here, Eastern time. And I think there's 2 games on that night, maybe Stanford TCU and Washington State, Michigan State. So, you know, top 20 matchups with both, and it'll be exciting, you know, a venue to watch and game to watch across the country.
The practicing on Christmas Day is one of those things that comes with a bowl game on the 28th, but I know that you're encouraging family that can to come and join you, and that's one of the things that the NCAA has permitted now for us to be a bit more generous with families.
Yeah, I think one of the great things is using SAOF funds or opportunity. It's funds that we can allocate to student-athletes and their families, and to be able to assist those families that go out financially a little bit to be able to have a quality experience, making rooms available in the team hotel for families is something that, you know, back 5-10 years ago was not possible and is today, and really I think ups the experience for the kids that are there, but more importantly for the families that have traveled along to be part of the experience.
Well, we had our banquet this last Sunday, so you know, I saw a lot of our families, and a lot of families are going out there. So I think they're excited about it, and you know, it's a chance for us to see a different part of the United States. And we've not been out there. We've only been out to the Rose Bowl, which was a great experience. And everything I've heard about the Holiday Bowl is the bowl out on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Well, and I like what Mark said about it being a student-centric bowl, mm-hmm. because we've been in places where the bowl is terrific, but you're spending almost all your time on a bus.
Yeah.
In the midst of traffic, and when student-athletes want to have a chance to unwind and just walk around with their family or their teammates, it really is hard to do that without just circling the lobby like 37 times.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had quite a lot of experiences at bowl games, and you're right, all of them, our players had to travel to go anywhere. And this one, from everything that I hear, and you guys are indicating it as well, that you can just walk right out the front of your hotel, and you can walk into the streets, and there's all kinds of things.
Yeah, you can walk the streets. You can walk the waterfront where all the mm-hmm. old ships are lined up. You can go into the Gas Lamp District, which is kind of old San Diego.
It's neat,
and a lot of good restaurants and shops. And
different cultural experience.
It really will be. A lot of different things just within steps of the hotel.
Yeah. So bowl game happens. What about your opponent? Do you want to give any insights to our listeners about your opponent?
Yeah, you know, Mike Leach is the coach out there, and you know, he can break off into some tangents at times, so that'll be interesting. You know, I have a good football team. You know, they beat Southern Cal, they beat USC, they beat Stanford, who played for the championship in the Pac-12, beat Oregon as well, and they lost to Arizona. this year, and you know, Washington at the end of the season. So they're a three-loss football team. They're going to throw the ball all over the place, you know, really. And then on defense, they're going to pressure you a lot. They're good athletes, and they can run. Quarterback is very effective, and you know, has thrown for over 3,000 yards this year. So effective football team, and it's just repetition. They repeat plays throughout.
Sounds like an entertaining game to watch.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be, and I'm sure there'll be different things that he brings out, and we'll have to play well and play the ball down the field and tackle in space and the things you have to do to be able to win a football game.
This is a year in which you have the opportunity to sign earlier than February. Players, student athletes will be coming next year. How did you feel and your colleagues, coaches feel about the changes?
You know, we'll have 20 players, I think, sign, and I sort of like it. You know, I've been to leading up to the bowl game, I've been on the road for 2 weeks, so, you know, I've made in-home visits to the majority of our, almost all of our committed players. It sort of takes them off the table, and you don't have to babysit anymore, as well as, you know, some of the guys will come to San Diego, and they can actually come and watch practice, because even though it's a dead period, if you've signed them, you can talk with them and have contact with them. So a little bit different, and it sort of speeds up the recruiting process. You know, we'll be looking at juniors more often than not in January, but I sort of like it. And there's going to always be new things, and I think there's going to be even more new things come this spring.
Yep. It's you know, from there, it's tough to look past the next game, right? But now you're getting ready for the 18 campaign, and the bowl's kind of part of that process, right? To get the team ready, get the coaches ready, and a 10th coach is being added through the NCAA rules and getting that in. As you look forward to 18, and it's probably an unfair question, but what are some of the things that just come to the top of your mind getting ready for next year?
I think 2018 there'll be a lot of new changes in recruiting. You can bring juniors in April, May, and June on official visits. That's a big change. Who knows what that will bring in additional rules. 18 itself, we've got a young football team, so spring should be exciting. We lose four players who are playing extensively. Other than that, everybody's back, so that's exciting for the future. You know, we'll add to that class to our spring. You know, I think we have six or seven players coming at mid-year who will add to our football team, and then, you know, the additional incoming freshman class. You know, we play Arizona State out there early in the season. You know, this year we had five away games in the Big Ten. Next year we'll have five home games in the Big Ten rather than four. So, but there's a lot to look forward to in 18, but it's down the road, I think. Right now I'm just sort of concentrating on Washington State right now.
Kind of looking at this transitional period, you know, I'm coming over to practice, watching you at practice, watching you on the sidelines. I've seen a smile a little more often this year than
last year.
Well, than last year, but really in previous years. It just seems like you're enjoying coaching the kids.
Yeah, I like our football team. I'm enjoying coaching our football team. And they keep it loose. They really do. And I think when you're around young people, as both of you are, I think it keeps you young. It keeps you moving. You know, there are always going to be things that get us down a little bit or that we have to work through. That's the nature of, I think, all three of our jobs. But when you have young people coming up to you and they're so positive and they're so excited about an opportunity to practice or playing a game or whatever, or joke around, you know, it sort of keeps you loose a little bit, and you know, it's sort of invigorating a little bit. And I think we all probably need that at some point.
Oh, there's a YouTube video we could probably sell. Coach D'Antonio jokes with players. Look, see what it looks like.
Yeah,
he does.
Since it appears to most people that he really doesn't do that as much. But he, you know, if you go, you really see a person who engages sincerely and genuinely with people. And each of us are different. And some of us like spotlights more than others. Some are less. Some have different talents than others. But if you engage with people genuinely and enjoy what they're telling you and you listen to them, then that smile always appears in terms of how genuine it is and how much you enjoy one another and want to really pull for one another and give each other the best.
Yeah, you know, I think people see me on game day. And on game day, you know, that's there's business to be done. You know, there's not a whole lot of laughing and smiling. Maybe at the end there is, And we've done that a lot. But, you know, throughout the game, it's an intensity to it that I don't think sometimes people quite understand. So we'll keep pushing.
The other thing across your coaching staff and continuity has been a key ingredient, mm-hmm. I think, to, you know, our collective success. You do a great job of putting people in front of our student-athletes to make our student-athletes successful, not just assistant coaches, but you look at across the board, trainers, strength coaches, the support group that you have there with Brad and Tim and Sheldon White and so many others. I know there's probably not enough time on a radio show to talk about it, but the secret ingredient of how you go about that, matching great people with great future people.
Well, I think first of all that you try and put people that can impact others on your team, you know, your administrative team or your coaching team. And I think we've been able to do that at every juncture for our student athletes. You know, our academic staff has been in place since I've been here. You know, Manny Chandler does a great job, and Todd Edwards prior to him, Jim Pignatero obviously started that. But Elliot Daniel's been involved, but they've been tremendous in that area. Sally Nogle in her area as a trainer, same thing. Was here in 95 when I was here. So there was when I came back.
Hall of Fame trainer.
You know, Dylan Marinas in our equipment room, our strength staff, Ken Manny, again, long time, a lot of continuity with his staff. So really what we've just tried to empower people. And I think when you empower people, you know, they become their own boss and they challenge themselves to get things done. And that's what we've done. And I think we provide a positive work environment and everybody gets along. And that's been one of our keys to success. You know, everybody works passionately about their jobs and they all have a good time with their jobs and they all have a good time with their football team.
Mm-hmm. One of the things, going back to the sort of the trip and the opportunity to bring families, that I was, when you first came, a little bit surprised at, but now know so much it's part of you, is the fact that you have a number of coaches with children, small children, and there was always a period at the end of the day where you sent them home to be with their kids, even though probably they could have spent a little bit more time on with the TV or the film or the kid or whatever it is, as being a football coach, but you always saw them as a family person first. And they, even though all of us have sacrificed time with family, that's just the nature of high demand, high pressure jobs. You always try to make sure that the fathers had time with their kids and kids were brought to practice and included in things.
Yeah, I think it's very important that we have a family-friendly environment on our football program. You know, that people can feel like they can come there and bring their kids and that type of thing and not have to worry about them hearing something that might be out of sorts. That's been a positive for us. A lot of our coaches' children now are older.
Yeah, they are.
You know, some I've known for their entire life.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we both have, you and, know, daughters, sons, that were 10, right?
Right.
When we started, and now they're in their 20s.
Yeah.
And you watch them grow up.
And Mark had a little bitty toddler.
Yeah.
And that now he's...
right, Mark Staten.
Yeah.
And we've got some others that are, you know, 10 or 12 years old that I've known them their entire life. And that's, there's something to that, you know, when you see them and you watch them grow. So that's also been a key to our success, I think, you know, because I am going to allow, I do want to make it special for the families as well. And, you know, you can get the job done. You know, we work 14 hours a day sometimes. If you can't get it done in 14, you probably can't get it done in 15 or 16. So at times, you know, there's always a trade-off. There's a little bit of free time or there's a little bit of time downtime where maybe other people don't have that, you know, they can catch up a little bit. But I think you got to stay fresh. And part of that freshness is staying fresh, is getting away from football and being with your families, with our players, and then also with our coaches and our staff.
Well, I think that if I were to respond to Mark's question about the capacity to keep people together, it's leadership and challenge and opportunity, but it's also family, mm-hmm. for individuals who want to have that for their children and have an and with football.
Yeah.
I think that's a great role model for our student athletes too, because so many of them did not have the kind of family experience that is modeled by your coaching staff.
Yeah, I think we try and get our players around our families as much as possible over Thanksgiving or, you know, certainly Christmas, and then we get with their families too.
Yeah,
you know, at the banquets and things of that nature. And a lot of our players' parents are extremely supportive, and you got to have a circle of trust with the parents, and because there's going to be some problems, you got to be able to work through the problems with not only the player but the family as well sometimes, and the celebrations.
And that is one of the great experiences of a bowl game, is you get families from all the different components that build into a successful program, and you get to see their families engage and talk and understand. And it's, you know, for an AD or a head coach, I think that's one of the great values of a bowl game, is to see that interaction, that dialogue and level of understanding.
Yeah, our guys, we work very hard at that. We want to build relationships. You know, once you're a Spartan here, you always want to be a Spartan, and you always want to have that relationship that lasts a lifetime. And that's really the underlying of why we're where we're at and why we've won some games. You know, I don't think I think we work through problems, and hey, at times people leave or whatever, and there's problems that can't be fixed. But most of the time, you're consistent and you're fair with people, and, you know, that's all you can ask.
We appreciate you joining us. We're looking forward to San Diego. And
we'll see you both out there.
Turn up the heat and the sunshine.
Yep. Go green.
Go white.